Well, welcome back to another episode of WA This Week. And look, we've had a couple of weeks break from this. First of all, my good person that produces the podcasts got COVID, and then I did as well. And you can probably hear in my voice a bit, I'm recovered from it, but still affecting that. Look, first up this week, I just wanted to have a shout out to the staff at the Department of Premier and Cabinet Media Monitoring Unit. I understand you are keen fans of this podcast, so look, welcome. And look, I hope you enjoy the content this week, as you clearly have in past weeks. Look, the first thing I think is important to recognise is the milestone of the majority of the mandates, the vaccination mandates being dropped in Western Australia. Now, you would know I've been calling for this for some time. What has been very clear is, given our enormously high vaccination rates in the state, those mandates weren't serving a useful purpose from a health perspective. They were really just punishing people who hadn't been vaccinated. Now, as I've constantly said, you know, you only have mandates for a health reason. You don't have them there to punish people. And I'm pleased to see that the Premier has finally come to the table and removed those mandates. And that means there are, in fact, thousands of people who will be able to get back into the workforce. And you would have heard in the media, in particular in the construction industry, for whatever reason, there were a lot of people in the construction industry who didn't agree with the vaccination mandate and weren't allowed to come to work. And of course, we've got such a desperate housing shortage in Western Australia. Really pleasing to see those workers getting back and building the houses we desperately need right across the state. Look, you know, again, as I've constantly said, important you protect the most vulnerable, and certainly support the continuation of the mandate for people having to be vaccinated if they're going into aged care or hospitals. Clearly, where you've got people in those high risk settings, you need to take a cautious approach. Interesting, we have a new Prime Minister in the country, and Anthony Albanese has become the Prime Minister, and I congratulated him on winning that election for the Labor Party. But a really disturbing pattern, I think, emerging very early in this government of ignoring Western Australia and, in fact, snubbing Western Australia. First and foremost, in his new cabinet, he only has one Western Australian in his cabinet, and that's Madeleine King. Madeleine, I'm sure, will do her role. I have lots of reports that people in her local electorate do not see her. People down at Rockingham and those areas don't ever see her around and about. So I hope she's a more diligent minister than she is a local member. But in any case, she is the only Western Australian member of the Labor Party at a federal level that was elected who's been put into the Albanese cabinet. Now, that's a really bad portent for Western Australia. You'd probably recall in the former Liberal government, Liberal National government, there were four Western Australians in the ministry, in the cabinet, that is, and more in the ministry, which is the broader group of ministers. And that's really important because we all know the East Coast's sort of centric nature of decision-making in federal governments. It's really important that you've got a loud voice for Western Australia in that cabinet. And look, we know why Albanese did this. The Labor federal government is utterly hostage to the factions. Albanese, in fact, didn't have a say in who were the cabinet ministers. That was chosen by the unions and the factional bosses over East, and they've all rejected Western Australia. You know, worrying on a couple of fronts. I have mentioned before, at least in the press, a real concern about the priorities of Albanese in relation to Western Australia. One of the promises the Labor Party made before the election was that they would allocate $100 million to build a battery manufacturing precinct in Queensland. Now, Western Australia, on a global scale, is the centre of mineral production for the minerals that go into these modern batteries, into the so-called lithium batteries. this is the logical place in Australia where you would build them. What is very clear is that the Labor Party considers Western Australia no better than a quarry. We're only fit to dig these minerals up, you know, process them to some small degree, and then send them to Queensland to have the batteries made from those minerals. I think that's an absolute disgrace. I mean, what an insult to Western Australia. And there we have Premier Mark McGowan standing beside Albanese, you know, saying that Albanese is going to stand up for Western Australia. What do we see? Could only scrape up one Western Australian federal member from the Labor Party in his cabinet, and building a massive battery manufacturing precinct in Queensland. The batteries will be manufactured with minerals that mostly come from Western Australia, you know. And what else do we see on the horizon? Look at those Labor premiers lining up to take our GST. They bitterly resent the fact that Western Australia gets 70 cents in the dollar of its GST. So the truth is, Western Australia is contributing billions of dollars to the rest of Australia, to those other states, to hold them up and to support them. And those Labor states, Victoria, South Australia, those states want to take that GST away from us. They want to punish us for our success. And as I say, we're still contributing millions of dollars. We're the only state that doesn't get more than 100 cents in the dollar back on its GST revenue. So we're sustaining the rest of Australia, and those Labor premiers want to take it away. And this is certainly something we'll be fighting hard on. You know, Western Australia deserves that money. We need to grow our economy and provide better services for people in Western Australia. Just a couple of weeks ago, what did we see again for the people in Kalgoorlie and in large parts of Western Australia? In fact, more blackouts. More blackouts, tens of thousands of homes, about 20,000 homes affected on a couple of occasions by those blackouts. And in, you know, Kalgoorlie, we saw those massive blackouts over the Christmas, New Year period. Dreadful heat wave, and many people suffering. People lost thousands of dollars worth of food because they had extra food in for the Christmas, New Year celebrations. And yet we saw those blackouts occur. Minister Johnson waved his hands, tried to explain it all away. And what do we see coming into winter? No storms, no heat wave, more blackouts. You know, this is unacceptable, you know, for and especially, might I say, for a big regional city like Kalgoorlie. Now, in Kalgoorlie, there are two massive gas turbines. They're diesel-fueled gas turbines. They're available to back up the power supply if the line from Perth gets cut. In both cases, despite the blackouts lasting for about 9 hours or so, those turbines did not start up, did not provide the power that the people of that Kalgoorlie and the greater region around there needed. And, you know, we never see the minister, we never see the local Labor member come up and explain to the people what happened. They hide behind Western Power. They get, you know, someone from that agency to come up and talk to the people there. But what is the minister doing about this? Kalgoorlie deserves a reliable power supply. The people of Western Australia deserve a reliable power supply. It's clear this government are failing to deliver that. You know, even the Premier described that situation as unacceptable, and yet his minister, Bill Johnson, is not doing sufficient work to fix that problem. Look, thanks very much for listening to WA This Week. We're entering an interesting time, I think, in the state with the end of the mandates, and I think politics will perhaps get back to some of the more normal issues, the critical issues of housing, health, and those sorts of issues, law and order in particular, I might say. So we're going to have an opportunity to talk about those in the coming weeks. But look, if you want to, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Otherwise, you can get the video on Facebook. Just look up Dr. David Honey. Please share it with your friends to get the message out. And also, as always, please give us your feedback. We just love your feedback, and that helps us and lets us know what you think. Thank you very much.